quarterback class that's expected to be pretty darn good next year. We decided, well, we're just the guys for the job.
Just the guys for the job.
We, every Tuesday during the football season, are going to just kind of do a little checking in on the pulse of the quarterback race in college football based on what guys did. And I went through and I put together, I have eight guys who I've seen through different rankings people think could be under consideration to be first-round draft choices.
Mm-hmm.
Now, keep this in mind. This is how historic this might be this coming draft. Since the common draft started in 1967, six quarterbacks have been taken in the first round only twice. So you don't really get six quarterbacks taken very often, twice since 1967. Once was 1983. It was that legendary draft that had, in no particular order, John Elway, Jim Kelly, Todd Blackledge, Kenny O'Brien, Dan Marino, and Tony Eason. But of those six, Marino was the last one taken. And that tells you all you need to know about the science of scouting in the National Football League. Elway, Kelly, Marino, the three best out of that, and Marino was the last of the six taken. And then the last time it happened was in 2024. I mean, it was 2 years ago, two drafts ago. Mm-hmm. And that was six quarterbacks in the first 12 picks. And it was Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, Michael Penix Jr., J.J. McCarthy, and Bo Nix. So there's a lot of buzz that a bunch of these guys could be first-round picks next year. And we're going to take a look at them. And you might not even know a couple of these names, but by golly, you will if you listen to us right here on Baskin and Phelps. Let's start with the guy in Columbus, Andy, who everybody had to watch. Arch Manning of the Texas Longhorns.
Okay.
They put up only 7 points against the Buckeyes. He was 17 of 30 for 170 yards. One touchdown, no interceptions.
Yeah.
Or one interception.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the deal. He was playing a really good defense, guys. It was his first start as the starter. Quinn Ewers was the main guy last year, even though Arch started, I think, two games. Sorry, not going to bury him because he had a tough game against Ohio State. Are you?
I'm not either. In fact, if you really want to look at that game upside down a little bit, ask yourself, what happens if Texas got the ball with like two and some change, right?
And he had a chance.
And he comes back and ties the game up at 14. You would have forgot about everything that happened prior to.
Yep.
You'd only remember the fourth quarter.
Yep, I agree.
So he put them in a position. They only lost by a touchdown. These teams are going to probably play again if they reach the playoffs just because the college football committee is going to want them to because the all the storylines and say, remember when the season started with Ohio State and Texas? Now one of those teams will see their season come to an end. Will it be revenge or will the Buckeyes be able to move on in the playoffs? So I can't bury him. There's a million reasons why I can't bury Arch Manning. So there were 6.5 million reasons. You probably shouldn't bury him yet.
I would agree with that. The one thing I'd say, Dano, he makes Kurt Benkert, who used to play for the Packers for a little bit,
quarterback,
came out on social media and said, hey, this dude's shoulder's messed up. Look at the way he's throwing. He said, I guarantee you, they're keeping it quiet. His shoulder's messed up. I thought, well, okay, big speculation on your part. I'll just say this, and I said it on our conference call. It made Andy laugh. The way he throws the football makes it look like Bernie Kosar was throwing straight over the top. This dude throws sidearm like crazy, man.
That's also modern quarterback. They want these guys to throw from all sorts of different arm angles.
I know.
And get that done. That throw that he had in between the safety and the cornerback, though, up the sideline in the fourth quarter there. Yeah, you saw that one, and you were like, okay, I can see the hype.
That was pretty good.
That was a big boy throw.
So keep an eye on Arch Manning. I'm anxious to see what he does moving forward. Mm-hmm. Lenora Sellers, really talented physically from South Carolina. Played against Virginia Tech. Meredith, sorry, they won 24-11. South Carolina did. He didn't have to pass much. 12 of 19, 209 yards, one touchdown, no interceptions. He's supposed to be a big-time physical prospect with a lot of upside. And so we'll see if that actually turns out to be the case. But he looked pretty good. I watched a lot of the LSU-Clemson game.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to see Cade Klubnik against Garrett Nussmeier.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Klubnik looked eh. And I thought, and I don't mean eh as in bad, just kind of like eh. And I thought Nussmeier made some big time throws, man. He looked good. He was 28 of 38 for 230 and a touchdown, no interceptions. Klubnik, similar, 230 yards on 38 attempts, but he completed only 19 of them. No touchdowns, one interception. Based on one game and one game only, I'd take Nussmeier over Klubnik, but that's one game and one game only.
Interesting game. I thought the same thing. And I watched Nussmeier's dad play at Idaho. So I have this little bit of a vested interest in watching
man crush?
Jared play. No, it's not a man crush. It's just one of those things.
Dan,
where,
man crush?
Come on, stop.
I don't think he's there yet.
No? I'm not there. No.
We're not there yet.
I do want to see him do well. I don't know if he's a fit for here, but it's interesting. It's interesting.
I have been a Nussmeier fan for a good period of time. I think that dude can sling it anywhere he needs to at any given point. He can read a field really well on top of it. I want to see what the rest of the season looks like for LSU. I am not a Cade Klubnik guy. I haven't really been from the beginning.
He didn't
even
do a whole lot for
last
me.
Year. Yeah. Oh, even watching him last year. And I know that Clemson team was, you know, growing and all of that kind of stuff. And they're, you know, this is their big year and Dabo's all over the place bragging about it. But I've never watched Cade Klubnik and been like, yeah, that's a guy right there.
Yeah, I thought he looked okay. Two other guys here out of the Big Ten. Well, let me rephrase it because God knows everybody's in the Big Ten now. Our guy Drew Aller from Medina was really good for Penn State, but they played Nevada. And the Wolfpack, not exactly a juggernaut. 46-11, Penn State won. Drew didn't play the whole game, but when he played, he was money. 22 of 26, 217, a touchdown, no interceptions. He didn't hurt himself at all.
No.
Did a nice job.
What was his final stat line?
22 of 26.
How many TDs?
One.
Yeah, it didn't seem like any of these.
Well, they didn't need to.
Yeah, keep going.
Aller didn't need to.
Say, of the quarterbacks who were out there, this was, you know, Drew Aller, and then you could throw Lenore Sellers in there, too. No offense to Virginia Tech. But, like, this week one slate was different than every other week one slate because you didn't have, you know, Nussmeier going up against Sister Mary of the Poor and Lonely anyway.
It was kind of fun.
Yeah.
I thought it was great.
It was kind of clunky.
Yeah, I thought so too.
I thought it was really clunky.
I don't want to jump on Jeff's stats, but I don't. Were there many guys that threw for more that
no.
might be on the list that threw
no,
for more than one?
There was nobody who made you think, oh my God, that guy was unbelievable.
Did anybody throw for four touchdown passes?
Like, none of the guys that we're looking at here.
Yeah. We're so used to these week ones being like, oh, yeah, Arch Manning threw four touchdowns because he went up against
San Angelo State.
Right. He went up against, you know, UTEP. And you're like, well, yeah, you should beat up on UTEP. That's kind of the way this goes.
Another guy is not one of the top guys that you're thinking of, Fernando Mendoza of the Indiana Hoosiers. And Fernando Mendoza is a transfer from Cal. And they beat Old Dominion, so that's, you know, what you're talking about there. He was 18 of 31, 193, no touchdowns, no interceptions. But this guy is a big-bodied quarterback who he's like 6'5", big guy, has transferred in, wants to play in the Big Ten, and so there's that. Keep an eye on him at 6'5". Why not? Sam Levitt from Arizona State is a guy that a lot of people think has a lot of skills. And they played Northern Arizona, so that's the kind of team you'd think they would roll, and they did. He was pretty good. 25 of 39, 257, two touchdowns, one interception. And Levitt's a transfer from Michigan State.
Okay.
Interesting.
Yep.
And then...
I want to hear your other names then.
Nico Iamaliava.
Yeah, pronounce every letter.
Yeah, I know.
Did you remember stumbling through this during the college football class?
I had it nailed, and then I just looked at it, and I didn't have it nailed anymore.
Jeff, yeah, what's the rule, man?
Iamaliava.
What's
the rule? Iamaliava.
UCLA.
What's the rule, kids?
He transferred. Say it fast.
Say it loud and say it fast.
There
just
it is.
Go.
Let me do it Baskin style. Ready? Yeah. Nico Iamaliava.
Iamaliava. Yeah, whatever.
That's his name.
Last name isn't what you do when you announce you're getting up at the third quarter because you got to go to a different party.
I'm out of here.
Iamaliava.
Peace out.
Thank you, Iamaliava.
He took himself off the list. UCLA got smoked by Utah 43-10. And Ayo Malieva was 11 of 22.
Utah's going to be good this
year. For 136, he had a touchdown and an interception. He did not have a good debut for UCLA. Does it mean he's toast? No, it doesn't mean he's toast. But Ayo Malieva, not stellar.
Did you catch any of that game? Did you watch any of that game?
I caught a little bit of it.
It was late Saturday night.
Yeah, I got to go catch up on
it. It was weird because
I got to go watch condensed games.
They played that game at the Rose Bowl, and the Rose Bowl's been redone. The stadium looked really weird.
Seriously?
Yeah. I was like, I'm trying to figure out. I'm like, where's this game at?
It was like against the Constitution.
So let me give you this.
Well, they played after sunset, so nothing's beautiful.
That's a good point.
You know, I'll give you what NFLDraftBuzz.com says on this.
Can I just, guys, to keep an eye on, Jeff, if you don't mind on this?
Go ahead. I got another one, too.
Can we toss the kid from Miami in there?
Carson Beck. That was the other name I was going to throw in, yeah.
I don't know if Carson Beck's the guy that you're going to think about for this draft.
I don't know. He threw two touchdown passes against Notre Dame, and they won.
Yeah, I know, and he's big. I just don't
know. It's a big win.
I know. Let me. And you have any other names? 205
yards. Yeah, I'm not the biggest.
Beck was the big one.
I'm not the biggest Carson Beck fan, but, like, that was...
I figured
that was
we're
an
not
opener.
I figured we can't do like 10 or 11 guys in this, or it's going to be just even more mundane and boring as it already is.
I feel like this turns into like the honorable mentions after a little bit.
Yeah.
I want to put Florida State's quarterback in there. I want to see more of him.
Okay. Well, by golly, if he keeps playing well, we might do that. Fearless Leader says Beck is a day 3 pick.
I'm not the biggest.
That's my point, Fearless
Leader. Yeah, but why can't we keep an eye on him? Thanks no for, one's saying
yeah,
that.
I feel like it's like
well,
an
we can,
mention.
But how, I mean, we're going to keep an eye on 30 guys? I thought we'd kind of limit it to like 5, 6 and have a couple of guys on the fringe.
You pick three, I'll pick three.
What's
you pick three, that's 9.
Mentions?
Yeah, why do we have to argue this on the air?
Come on, man. So as I was, get with the program.
So as I was going to say, NFLDraftBuzz.com ranked them after their first games.
What would they say? By the way,
number one.
Fearless Leader doesn't like Notre Dame, sure.
Number one, Arch Manning. Number two, Garrett Nussmeier.
Really?
Number three, Cade Klubnik. Number four, Lenora Sellers. And number five, Drew Aller. Followed by Leavitt and Mendoza. And then Beck. And then Ayo Malieva. So there you go. All right?
I don't know that I have Arch Manning at number one after that week.
I still have Arch Manning
and
at
despite
number one.
The fact I that you think Carson Beck is a day 3 pick there, Fearless Leader, I thought Beck looked better than
actually,
than Manning
I probably would put Nussmeier at one, but that's also coming in with preconceived notions.
Okay.
Anyhow, Arch Manning's still up there for me until we see.
I don't want to kill
more.
The kid, but I don't think he looked like the best quarterback in the.
It was number
of the weekend.
It was number one. No, well, he wasn't, but that's not the best quarterback of the weekend. We're talking about who's going to be the best quarterback when he gets to the NFL. That's what this is about. It's not like, oh, you had a great game against San Angelo State. It's who is looking like the guy that the Browns might want to go
like
for?
Like I said, I think the criticism of Arch Manning is way too heavy after week one, but I don't think he's the best quarterback in college football right now.
Of course, Andy was rooming with Nussmeier's dad in Montana, so take
okay.
that for what you want.
All right.
Anyhow, that's where that Smart. Is. And they're taking one next year, you know. It's Baskin and Phelps here on The Fan. That's Andy. I'm Jeff. Dan Menigan's behind the glass. Meredith taking your phone calls, 216-474-0092. I will tell you, I'm very anxious for Sunday to get here.
Are you?
Yeah, because the narrative of the offseason will change. Either that or the overriding narrative of the offseason will get locked in. What do I mean by that? I mean this. Stories like on SI from 19 hours ago. NFL offseason winners and losers. Okay?
Okay.
Winners, Buccaneers Super Bowl hype.
Mm-hmm.
Rams Super Bowl hopes. Ravens secondary because they signed Kyle Hamilton. Jackson Dart and Brian Daboll, winners. Trey Hendrickson, winner. Raiders offense, winner. Losers, Jerry Jones.
Yeah, that's true.
Browns.
What's it say about the Browns? Just Browns?
Says there's not much the Browns did right this offseason. Says Myles Garrett got his 8th speeding ticket since entering the league. Simply put, just hire a driver already and stop putting people's lives at risk.
Okay, I'll buy that.
Yeah.
But I do think they got some things right.
There's more. Well,
yeah.
Hold on.
All right.
So much drama in Cleveland could be easily avoided. But for whatever reason, sensible decisions don't seem to be an option for this dysfunctional organization. Read the room, Browns.
Getting Miles Garrett. Hold on. Now I'm all in.
Hold on.
They put the fun in dysfunctional, though.
That is true.
It says, read the room, Browns. Maybe don't be the team that signs wide receiver Isaiah Bond, who went undrafted due to sexual assault allegations.
Who wrote this?
I'll tell you in a minute.
Wow.
He says, Albert Breer reported this about the Bond signing. I can say there were folks internally who weren't comfortable with it, particularly when combined with the team's recent history with players facing such accusations. Then he mentioned Judkins. And
was he not cleared?
Mentioned Deshaun.
Am I missing something?
And then it said, it seemed the Browns were ready to make sensible decisions when it became clear that they were moving on from Watson. Instead, they end a once promising offseason with a handful of irresponsible decisions.
Wow.
Though some of that may be based in things that happened, and Gilberto Manzano wrote that.
Sure, Mike Lombardi didn't write that?
That's funny. This is why I want the season to get here.
Okay.
Can we quit praising whoever? Can we quit bashing whatever team? Let's see what this Browns team looks like on the field, and let's go from there. Clearly, they did not have a good offseason. Okay?
I'll beg to differ on some of that.
All right. Give me two things that went well this offseason.
Mason Graham, Carson Schwechter.
You don't know yet.
They picked up another pick. They picked up another first-round pick. That's not well.
Well, maybe they re-signed. Maybe they traded a Hall of Famer and Travis Hunter to do it.
Okay, they re-signed their star player who said he wanted to leave.
That one I would say is a good thing for this offseason.
They brought back one of their most successful quarterbacks since 1999.
Oh, good Lord.
Do you want to look at the glasses half full or half empty?
No, I want to see it on the field. I'm just ready to see it. I think the quarterback thing was a disaster. Now, that can change when they get on the field. There was no competition. Pickett got hurt. Flacco got the job. It was that simple, and the two youngsters weren't ready yet.
Okay.
Youngsters. Those two little whippersnappers, they're not ready yet. I think the quarterback thing is a disaster, but it can change real quickly. Could change if Joe goes in and plays really, really well and they win a couple of games.
All right.
It could change if Joe gets hurt, Dylan Gabriel goes in and looks like Mark Brunell. Oh, trust me, you'd take Mark Brunell in a heartbeat, Andy. He'd be your quarterback for 8 years.
Yeah, I'm just wondering why you chose him.
Left-handed.
Oh, all right.
And a guy who came in as a backup.
6'1", I remember.
And became something.
I do remember him being much bulkier than... than Gabriel.
Well, Gabriel's a little guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of his idols isn't very big. Tua Tagovailoa. He's not very big.
Russell
Wilson's had a great career
at 5'11". Just go win. Go win.
Kyler Murray's not big. Okay. He's doing all right. Bryce Young's smaller than Dylan Gabriel.
Drew Brees wasn't that big. I get it. Okay.
Right. I mean, but right now I think the quarterback things just looks awful to me.
Drew Aller, 6'5", in case you're wondering.
That's what we're talking about.
And maybe he can play center field for the Guardians, too.
He looks the part.
Yeah.
He looks the part. I'm anxious to see it on the field because I think we're there. You know, it's like, come on. All the storylines gone. Let's play some football and see. Can this defense be what everybody thinks it's going to be?
Okay.
Can that line be dominant? If the defense looks more like it looked 2 years ago than it looked last year, and it wasn't awful last year. It was just a disappointment after a stunning year the year before. If it can get back to that, Andy, this team has a chance to compete each and every week.
I'm curious. Can you give me some positives that happened to this team during the offseason?
Miles Garrett signed an extension.
Okay. We can agree on that.
Yep.
That's it?
Well, I'm thinking. I other than draft choices, who we, let's be completely honest, though for instance, you mentioned Graham and Schlesinger.
Is there anybody who thinks that Mason Graham was a bad pick so far?
I chopped you down on that. Why?
Yeah, you think you did, but you didn't, because I'm still standing tall like a tree in the forest, baby. Keep going.
But if you fall and nobody's there. Anyhow, I like those two picks. I think they're going to be good. But I don't think we can say that yet. You know, you can't say, hey, they got Carson Schlesinger.
Schlesinger looks good.
Until we see him out on the field and playing in a real game.
Well, from what I saw in preseason, he looked pretty good. Now, again, I know it's preseason, so I'll take it with a grain of salt. I was impressed, especially for as young as he is.
I thought he did a really nice job.
Yeah.
Mason Graham, everything I've read from any analyst, first of all, watching him on the football field, I love it. Because he doesn't look like your typical defensive tackle. You know, he's not like a behemoth. In fact, he looks a little small.
So are you saying this is an offseason positive?
No, I'm saying give me 3 or 4 weeks and I'll tell you that it is.
All right.
I mean, every team has a draft, Andy. And every team is optimistic about their draft.
There have been times where we've had guys in here before that probably didn't even want to play football. And for some reason, the Steelers wanted them, and I still can't believe that. But we've had bad situations before.
Yeah, but you didn't know it until they got on the field and showed you.
I can feel good about Graham and Schwarzenegger going into this thing, and I think I'll feel good weeks into the season, too, as long as they're healthy. I'm okay with
it. Seriously, what else went really well this offseason? I mean, I'm optimistic about the draft picks, too, but until we see them, to me, it's
Rather
Miles
than saying
Garrett.
What didn't go well, what went okay? So, tell me what went sideways.
The quarterback situation.
I don't know if again. Let me see what it looks like on the field. I'll give you your answer on that. How do we know the quarterback situation went sideways?
Because the 40-year-old
Pickett got hurt.
Because Pickett got hurt, and neither Gabriel nor Sanders showed enough in the preseason. Hold on, don't cut me off. To beat out a 40-year-old guy whose best days are behind him. My hope was
who was also a guy that brought this franchise the most cohesion and best experience that most people have ever experienced post 99.
Went 4-1 in the regular season, just like Deshaun Watson.
Okay, well, for some reason then, Jeff, people didn't want to hold them to the same standard.
In the same year.
But they want to talk about Flacco and what he was able to do, and they were excited about that.
My only thought about the other quarterbacks, Andy, and I thought
Sanders looked really good in his first start, and I thought Gabriel looked good in his start. So.
Said it from the day that Flacco came in. Boy, I sure hope somebody can beat him out, if only for the reason that he's 40 years old. That would mean somebody did something well, because we know Joe's competent. Joe's competent? Is he great? No, he's not great.
Joe could go out there right now and start 17 games for if they can get all the way through it. I'm not saying he's going to win all 17 games, but I think Joe could go out and start every game for you this year.
I think that would be...
So therefore, his age doesn't matter.
I would tell you, well, it does matter.
It doesn't.
It doesn't matter if you're starting. It matters how you're playing.
Agree.
So...
And I think he can play well enough to give this team a chance every week on offense.
Maybe.
It may not be pretty in the first half. He may throw a couple picks. But if your defense gets a little bit of rest in between, they will be in every game. I'm not expecting them to make the playoffs, but I think this team will be in every game. Now watch, they'll get blown out the first 6 games, and I'll sit here and eat my words. But I think Joe Flacco can keep them in every game. Whether they can win or not may depend on the defense putting them in an unbelievable position to score or perhaps pick 6 or a scoop and score.
You know, one thing about the quarterback situation, though, that and I'm sorry that I feel this way. I don't particularly care what Joe Flacco does this year. I don't really care what Gabriel or Sanders do on the field either. And the reason why is because I'm absolutely convinced they're taking a quarterback in the first round next year with their first pick. Whichever one that is, and they might even trade up to get somebody that they really want. So because I'm absolutely convinced that next year they're drafting their quarterback, that they're going to deem their quarterback in the future and then give him a number of years to figure that out, this year is somebody has to play quarterback, so somebody will. That's why I'm not fired up about it.
Here's what I hope for. I hope that either Gabriel or Sanders can break through and prove that they should be the quarterback of this team for X amount of years moving forward.
Would be unbelievable.
So they don't have to say, well, you know, we drafted 2 quarterbacks. We wasted one of the picks. We get it. We understand it. And by the way, next year we can refix our offensive line, or we can get younger on the offensive line, or we can pick up a wide receiver that can help us for, you know, a good 5 years here with one of those 2 first round picks next year, or maybe a defensive back, or I don't know, to give Miles Garrett a great addition on the other side, something to use those 2 picks on other than a quarterback. I do believe we are destined to pick a quarterback next year in the first round, but I don't want to believe it until I see that Gabriel or Sanders has a chance to fail when you give them the opportunity. Give them the opportunity. And again, if you're just looking at a 1-year window, I'll ask you, is that enough time to evaluate somebody? They pulled the trigger way too fast on Baker Mayfield, and they still live in regret over that. I do, at least.
I don't think they live in regret over that.
I, Where would this team be right now if they had Baker Mayfield and those three first-round draft picks? Better than they where we are right now?
I would certainly think so.
Okay.
Yeah. I would certainly think so.
Advantage, Baskin.
Advantage. Are we? Is this like a tennis match?
It feels like one today.
Is the entire show a tennis match?
Well, I don't feel like we were sitting at love at any point there, so.
Thank God. I have some preposterous comments from a college football coach. They weren't from Belichick. They're coming up next.